Session 93, September 30, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth Material. Session 93. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, due congratulations to Rupert on the sale of his painting. I hope that you will not find that he is now big-headed as well as pig-hearted. He knows I speak only in jest. I did, nevertheless, tell you that he had been an artist at one time, did I not? Rob, yes. See second session. Volume 1, page 15 and 16. Seth, the interruption did bother him somewhat, as he was prepared for a session on time per usual. I will, however, continue along the lines of our previous discussions. Dreams, then, come from various levels of what you call the subconscious. But as a rule, any particular dream, although it originates in a particular level, will nevertheless have meaning on all levels. The meaning, however, may well not be the same. That is, the particular dream may be a method of saying different things or bringing different messages. The one particular dream automatically being translated by the various levels of the subconscious in terms of the interpretation given by any particular subconscious level to the dream symbolism. The dream could be said to be a message to the multitudinous levels of the self. For purposes of analogy only, imagine that each subconscious level is personified into a personality, who is then subjected to rendition of a dream or more, who watches a screen upon which the dream images flicker. Every subconscious personality, then, would see and hear the same dream, as many persons may watch the same movie, and as each person in a theater interprets the symbolism of the drama differently, so does each layer of the subconscious interpret differently the same elements of one dream. Now the I who dreams, who is aware of motion, action, and participation in a dream, this I is, of course, the inner self, focused momentarily upon the particular subconscious layer at which the dream is originated. I will here suggest that the term subconscious layer has served its purpose, and in this place we will refer to subconscious areas. In dreams, the inner eye changes the point of focus, and this is important. It is therefore able to review the self as a whole, with its past and present life. And because the focus brings it outside the camouflage time and space, it is also able to project itself into what you call the future. In other words, a dream allows the inner self to view itself within the spacious present. Now, chemically, the physical body does need to dream. That is, dreaming is a necessity if the physical body is to survive. This is the result of certain chemical reactions and chemical necessities, chemical excesses that build up during the days, inciting the mental dream mechanism. Without dreams, the outer camouflage self would lose all touch with inner realities, or would be in danger of thus denying its own heritage, and therefore the physical body is so constructed that excess chemicals must be discharged and transformed in human action, or the physical mechanism would be clogged with poisons. I suggest your first break. Seth, when I spoke of the fine discrimination used in the construction of a dream, I had reference to the amazing work done by the inner self in the choice of its individualized symbols, which would have meaning to the many and various levels of the subconscious. The dream objects are not randomly chosen, but only those are chosen which will be significant to the many layers of the self, according to the need or according to that part of the subconscious area which is to be instructed. That is, the portion which is directly a participant in the dream activities, and which plays out the dream drama while other parts of the self observe. You must again realize that we speak of the self as being so divided only for simplicity's sake. While the self is whole, it is, however, compartmentalized for efficiency's sake. But beneath consciousness, the doors are open. Again, the conscious self is most necessary. However, it cannot be stressed too strongly that consciousness is merely a state of focus and not a self. Consciousness is the direction in which the self looks at any given time. That is perhaps the most important sentence of this session and many others. For the direction of the focus of the self does indeed change, and even in your own daily lives, you experience the fact that what is conscious today may not be tomorrow. The self in this manner looks about. The direction in which the self looks is not the self. In dreams, the self looks elsewhere, and the I is a conscious I, and the working ability is tremendous. The inner self perceives realities that it observes in many directions, being free from the intense focus within limited directions of camouflage existence. It then constructs its dreams in such a way that the symbols within will sift through all areas that are themselves less able to survey large vistas, but those energies are focused along specific lines. Without dreams, the whole self would have no way of holding its various manifestations together, and the so-called conscious present personality would soon falter. Imagine, if you will now, a band of men, some in cars with the high beams of the headlights gleaming, so that some generalized conditions can be seen, and some with low beams showing only the road that the automobiles directly pass. The men can be compared to personified areas of the subconscious with partial vision of existing conditions. Another man in an airplane above sees the whole landscape, and through radio communicates to those below about the conditions which they cannot perceive. The man in the airplane then can be compared to the inner self, sending messages to other areas of the subconscious, whose energies and focus are necessarily used in limited fashion. Only in this case, the man in the airplane, instead of a radio message, would radio directly into the mind mechanism of the men below. A dream drama in the coded symbols which would be interpreted automatically by the men below. Now, the conscious self responds without knowing it, often changing course and direction to those dreams of which he is often not aware. The ego, the conscious ego, the so-called conscious self, is only the front man in the front lines, supported by multitudinous areas or portions of himself that he does not know, and whose messages come to him only through the correspondence of dreams. I am, again, not diminishing the practical necessity for the conscious self as it appears to be. But man is much more than the conscious self, and what he calls the conscious self is merely the whole self as seen through the direction in which the whole self chooses to direct its energies and focus. A man stands in the center of a room. When he looks to the right, you say, "This is my conscious self." When he looks to the left, we have something else again. You say, "This is the dreaming self." The dreaming self, or if you will, the left-handed self, indeed is as important as the so-called conscious self. The whole self merely changes direction and viewpoint and focuses its energies along a particular line. It turns beams of attention off and on. It has many facets and many volumes and many dimensions. It acts out roles, but the whole self is entire, and every individual innately knows and is intimately familiar with the intents and purposes of the whole self. And in dreams and in intuitions and unspoken thoughts, the individual comes to terms with the whole self, of which it is merely one portion, and not necessarily the dominant portion. Rob, now Jane perched on the table, sitting down upon it, and laughed and pointed at me. Seth, I will here give a brief personal example. Our friend Rupert prides himself that his conscious self, before the sessions began, started the book called The Physical Universe as Idea Construction. Ha ha! Did he really now? The idea that sparked the book came to him, though he may forget, in two ways. First, as intuition. In other words, from his inner self as he sat down to write poetry, and in a dream the following night. Intellectually, he followed the ideas, but his inner self gave him the all-important initial message. His poetry does not spring from the conscious self, yet he would not disinherit it for that reason. Intuition represents the directions of the inner self, breaking through conscious barriers. Messages from the inner self, if strong enough, will pass through the conscious barriers, and the conscious ego is only too happy to receive them. But such intuitions have usually first appeared in dream form, appearing to the ego later, and many such messages appear in dreams ahead of time, to be released to the conscious mind when situations demand it. I had forgotten your break, by all means. Rob notes break at 10:22. Jane well remembers the evening when she first consciously conceived idea construction, and so do I. Checking her manuscript yields the date of September 10, 1963, as when she made her first notes. I remember walking out to the living room where she writes her poetry, having finished my own work in my studio in the back of the apartment at about 9 p.m. Jane's first words were, "Boy, have I got a great idea," or to that effect. She then told me about idea construction, which I didn't go for very much. Checking with her while writing this up, she said that she never did do any poetry that night. The idea came to her as she sat down to write poetry after supper, and she spent the evening on it. It might be interesting to quote here the first paragraph of notes Jane made that evening. Quote, "Basic idea is that the senses are developed not to permit awareness of an already existing material world, but to create it. The inner image, idea, is projected by the senses outward to create the world of appearance." Note camera in reverse for the eye, for example. Rob continues, as Seth states, Jane did have a dream about the idea the following night, September 11, 1963. She recalls it quite easily. However, she has no written record of the dream, since this was before she had cultivated the habit of keeping a dream notebook. As mentioned many, many sessions ago, however, her poem, The Fence, written in May 1963, clearly foreshadows the Seth material, dealing with, but not always by the outright name, such subjects as reincarnation, dreams, unperceived worlds, etc. See the poem on page 28, section 5, in volume 1 of Early Sessions. Jane resumed in the same manner at 10:33. Seth. Now, the conscious mind perceives matter. Yet, even then, it does not perceive matter directly, but by a direct, indirect path, and only because the whole self directs a certain portion of its energies in that direction. The conscious self does not perceive, or the so-called conscious self does not perceive. The equally valid dream constructions. You will discover that the whole self is composed of many so-called conscious selves, but neither of these conscious selves are aware of the existence of the others. The dreaming self, dear friends, is not aware of the conscious self. The whole self, the entire inner self alone, holds knowledge of the direction in which it moves. The directions can be likened to conscious selves. Any individual on the physical plane who has achieved great things has done so because his so-called conscious self was intuitively aware of the self of which he could not be consciously aware. Men are not islands, even unto themselves. They merely perceive islands, or they perceive bits of realities. The dream correlates the various manifestations of the self with the whole portion. Dreams bring intuitive knowledge of the whole self to its own parts. I will end the session shortly, after mentioning briefly an example of how various levels of the subconscious interpret a symbol. We will take Rupert's dream that we have already interpreted on some levels, and one symbol only, that of a tub, T-U-B. The tub was the unifying symbol of the dream. See the 87th session, page 11. Seth, the tub was the unifying symbol of the dream, interpreted by the various levels of the subconscious. On the most superficial level, dreaming, Rupert thought, one day I shall be an old tub, meaning an old worn-out vessel. This having to do with the disappearance of early youth and having superficial meaning to the surface female personality. The tub was next interpreted as a washing machine. In a secondary level, that was in itself a symbol leading to the next interpretation, belonging to a past life, that of an old tub that leaked. In his dream, the washing machine leaked, leading him to a third level, where the tub was a symbol for the old ship that leaked when you, Joseph, were a passenger on your way to Boston in a past life. The connection picked up again. The past administrator of the gallery was known to you in that life, and was a passenger on the same ship. Here Rupert was led backward to the first level momentarily, saying, I will not be the old tub she was and is. Therefore, on a surface level, overcoming jealousy because the former administrator spent so much money on clothes and appearance. Rob notes, see the 59th session for the data on the past lives of Jane, D. Masters, and myself in Boston prior to the Civil War. See again the 87th session. Seth, Rupert knew he could look better if he spent half the time and effort, but was jealous anyway. So here the symbols coincided. He maintained subconscious information concerning your past life, the only symbol of the tub serving three purposes. It gave him information, it helped overcome his jealousy, and it was a transition from surface significance to deeper knowledge. At the same time, the word tub referred to a friend of his, a woman whose maiden name was Tubbs, and informed him subconsciously that she was in difficulties, as when the tub or old washing machine leaked. Here, the leaking of the tub referred to the leaking ship on one level, and to the difficulties that were being experienced by her old friend on another. I'm not sure here. The woman may have been in childbirth, and the water bed broke. Rob notes, this bit of data really made me sit up and take notice. Jane has not heard from her schoolgirl friend Marie Tubbs for some months. And if Marie was pregnant, we did not know it. They have exchanged a desultory correspondence for some years and have not met since the early days of our marriage 10 years ago. But because they were such good friends in school days, they have managed to keep in touch with each other over the years. Jane will now write to Marie to see if Seth is correct, if not, or the data is distorted. Jane will try to learn from Marie what association she would have been involved with in the matter. Marie's married name is Marie Surgeret of Boyantown Beach, Florida. Seth. Now, in any dream, you will find a unifying image that will seem as diverse as this is to the conscious mind, but it will speak to various portions of the self. In that dream, you found the word tub referring to many various meanings, but in many cases, you will find various other images all cunningly connected, so that it seems most unfortunate to you that the conscious mind cannot interpret them. However, I have said that the conscious mind is but a small portion of the whole self, and the information thus received through dreams is automatically acted upon or assimilated, regardless of conscious cognition. This information itself may enable you to interpret your own dreams more effectively, and should enable others who read the material to interpret their own dreams with more sense. It is not as important as you may think, since oftentimes you act with more wisdom automatically, and the conscious mind is extremely slow to assimilate knowledge that the intuitions know by heart. I hope to get into your father's appearance in your dream. However, the explanation will take nearly an hour, and is not what you think. I would suggest now that we end the session, although if you wish me to continue, I will. Rob, I guess not. Usually I would be willing to continue in such instances, but seldom do, because it keeps Jane working longer. Seth, I will then wish you both a fond good evening, with the remark that Rupert will make more this year through writing than he would have at the gallery. And if your poor Professor von Jameson appears at your door, do not be surprised. Be very kind and considerate, and say no to anything he may suggest. My fondest good wishes to you both. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 11:02.